At this point, any of the young children may go with Mrs. Rocco downstairs for a special message. If you have stayed up late enough at night, or if you've watched enough bad movies on third-rate cable, you've seen them. Infomercials. They can be entertaining. They can be laughable. They can be downright awful. Usually, these infomercials make some kind of unbelievable claim, one that promises to make your life easier. Remove any stain from any fabric. Cook your pasta in only seconds. Chop your vegetables with three slaps of your palm. Cut anything from tomatoes to beer cans, and your knife will remain sharp as a razor. These are my favorites, the ones that seem too good to be true, the ones that claim miraculous results. Above all are the ones that put the word miracle right in the title of the product. Case in point, you may have seen it, the Miracle Blade. That's Chef Tony's amazing 13-piece set of cutlery, able to slice through anything. Toss up a pineapple, and you can cut clean through it in one swipe. It's a $300 value for only $39.95. But wait, there's more. If you order now, you get a second set of knives plus a 20-piece flatware set absolutely free. Sound too good to be true? Probably. And while we enjoy watching these pitch men and their products, we do so with a heavy dose of skepticism. It just can't be true. Can this miracle product really deliver on its promise? If it's such a miracle, how come they're not being sold at Jewel? And if it's so good, how come the commercial is so bad? Somehow, the promises of these commercials come up empty. The crowds in Jesus' day had no late-night television, and they certainly had no infomercials, but they were looking for something. Something that would make their life easier, just like us. They were longing and they were waiting for the promised one, the Messiah, the one who would set them free. And so they sought out Jesus, the popular miracle-working prophet. And this was a rough time for Jesus. He was 2 years into his ministry, and it had been hard work. It was 2 years spent with the unwanted, the foreign, the sick, the sinful, the dying, and the demon-possessed. It was 2 years of teaching, traveling, and suffering persecution. And now he had just received the terrible news, news that his cousin John had been brutally murdered while in prison. The very human Jesus must have been immensely tired. Like any of us, after a long, hard day in this sin-broken world, he wanted to get away for a bit. He wanted a few minutes by himself. But the crowd needed him, and they followed him, and they would have none of that. They needed Jesus. They wanted what he was promising. So while he was rowing across the lake, he could see them crowding along the shore, waiting for him to pull up at the dock. And I'll be honest, if it was me on the lake, I would have turned the canoe around, paddled out to the middle, and probably just sat there. But not Jesus. No, Jesus looked at them and saw their longing and their pain. He saw their needs. And tired as he was, he had compassion on them. Sometimes our English doesn't do justice to the words of the gospel writers. In the Greek, the word for compassion is splachnon. The splach part of that word literally means guts or insides. The feelings of compassion and affection that Jesus had for these broken people came from deep inside him. He felt it in his heart, in his guts. He couldn't turn them aside. No, he loved them too much. He had to heal them. He needed to feed them. And he would. He would give them what they needed. And just like the end of the commercials, he would give them even more. Jesus would fill them to overflowing so they would not come up empty. But wait, there's more. Like those New Testament crowds, we too are in need of a Messiah. We too are in need of someone who can take us out of this sin-broken world and ease our pain. Someone who can deliver on his promises and not leave us feeling skeptical or empty. Yes, we know Jesus and we know that he is Lord, but perhaps we've become a bit weary. Perhaps we look at him as we look at those infomercials, entertaining, but not a real-life valid solution. Maybe we just can't buy it. Or perhaps we're like the disciples. We have followed Jesus for years. We know what he is capable of doing. But when we hear what he asks of us, what he wants us to do, we disagree and suggest our own answers, our own better ideas. Give them something to eat, Jesus tells his disciples. Can't do it, Jesus. There's not enough to go around, they prudently say. Send the crowds home, Jesus. They can eat there. But the compassionate Jesus would not listen to the disciples' argument, logical though it may have been. Let me take care of this, he says. Bring them to me. And then after blessing the loaves and the fishes, Jesus miraculously feeds more than 5,000 people. For merely 5 loaves and fishes, he satisfies their hunger. This is no empty promise. Jesus fills them to overflowing, and they would never come up empty. But wait, there's more. Not only did Jesus meet their immediate hunger and needs, he went above and beyond. He poured out more than they could imagine, more than they could take in. And they all ate, and they were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. 12 baskets left over. That's one for each of the tribes of Israel. That's one for each of the disciples to carry away as confirmation that Jesus was the Holy One of God. He was the long-awaited Messiah. More than a mere exercise in filling bellies, this feeding of the 5,000 was a sign that pointed to Jesus, showing the disciples that he will supply them all they need for distributing his gifts, all they will need and more. And he continues to supply our needs today as well. Jesus looks on us with compassion too, with his compassion that comes from deep inside. He sees our pain, knows our hunger, and he provides. He physically fed the 5,000, but if you look closely, in all 4 Gospels, there's not much mention of how they reacted. Other than that, they were satisfied. The focus seems to be more on the overabundance. It was a sign that he was truly the Messiah. In the John 6 account, we have this comment, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." So the purpose of the feeding of the 5,000 was and is to point people back then, people today, you and me, to point us to Jesus as the Christ, the promised one, the one who can and does satisfy all our needs and more. Through his Holy Spirit, Jesus fills us to overflowing, so we never come up empty. And more than just filling our stomachs, Jesus fills us with faith in him. He makes us part of his body, the church. He forgives our sins and adopts us as his own. He gives us a seat at his table, a seat at the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom that will have no end, a feast that will leave no one hungry. And yes, there's even more. As he did those many years ago in Galilee, Jesus comes to us. He comes to us here today to heal, to teach, to forgive. And he comes with a compassion that flows from deep inside him. He comes because he loves us sinners so much. If today you feel weak, tired, or hungry, if you feel lost, ignored, or ashamed, if you feel empty, Jesus comes to you and he fills you to overflowing, and you don't need to do or pay anything. There's no hidden shipping and handling fees. The gifts of God are free of charge. But wait, there's more. While we are still here, still his disciples on earth, he gathers us as his body and puts us to work. He tells us to go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and feed the hungry, clothe the naked. Go and give to the poor and visit those in prison. He lets us distribute his gifts, just as he asked his disciples to do on that lakeshore 2,000 years ago. Jesus provides everything we need to go about this. He strengthens our faith, and he continues to miraculously feed us. He feeds us with his holy word and his sacraments. He washes us clean in the waters of baptism, and he fills us with his holy supper. Jesus fills us to overflowing, so we never come up empty. So often in our daily lives, promises are broken. No matter what Vince the Pitchman says, the miracle knife eventually does break or become dull. The slapshot salad chopper falls apart in the dishwasher, and the furniture fix does fail. But that's not the way with Christ. With him, there is a never-ending supply of compassion, love, and forgiveness. His promises are always kept. They are never broken. With Jesus, there is always more. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please fill out the folders in the pew as the ushers come forward for the gathering of the offering.